You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode number 859. We are the Fight Disciples. This is your boxing review from the weekend just gone. A little bit of New York action from Friday night. We'll sprinkle on in a little bit of Las Vegas and Birmingham on Saturday, and then we'll even nip over to Ireland for Sunday night shenanigans as well. Lots to talk about. Well, I say lots to talk about. I apologize now to all those Fight Disciples that love the Scouse one, because the majority of this program is going to be my voice. The reason for it, someone's got tonsillitis, haven't they? And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, you can see him. He's there. He's, you know, looking a little bit disheveled, like he's struggling at the moment. But he is here. He's going to nod a lot. He's going to grunt a lot. Maybe give us a thumbs up. So I would advise you to watch the show if you want his input, rather than maybe listen. Have you been on the ice cream all weekend, mate, trying to soothe the throat?
I got onto the ice cream yesterday. Definitely helped. But Friday, Saturday, ruthless, man.
Now listen, there are conspiracy theorists out there. You know that the people that watch the show that are conspiracy theorists that will be thinking, it's because United pulled his team's pants down. That's why he's not talking on the show today.
Exactly. What a ridiculous game of football that was. Jesus.
Oh, bless. Eh? It's over. Quad's over, son.
The quad's gone. There's just the jar treble left. I'll take it.
We'll take it. What about your boy steaming out of his interviews as well? What's up with him, eh? What's up with the lad?
Now you see. I'm not surprised, the team, but anyway. And I lost count of the amount of times we had 5-on-2 against United as well, a mid-table side.
It is. He's biting. He's biting. I'm getting him in, kids. I'm getting him to play.
Exactly. Who did they get in the draw, by the way? Did they get City?
No. Ooh, United?
Yeah, sorry. I literally football didn't exist when that goal went in an injury time.
Oh, they got Coventry, mate.
Oh, right. Okay. So they're off to the final. They're off at Wembley instead.
There you go. They're off.
Are we the semis at Wembley, innit?
Semis. Yeah. And then City got Chelsea. So that's the FA Cup series. Right.
Sounds okay.
Apologies for those that tuned in for our obviously boxing chat. I just like to get stuck into him when his team's not turned up. It's very rare that his team doesn't turn up. They're doing quite well at the moment. So I just do like get stuck into him when they don't. All right. And especially when he's feeling a little bit under the weather, I thought I'd kick a man while he's down. Why not, eh? Hey, that's what we do, will you? Listen, we said that the atmosphere of the weekend would be in New York on Friday night. I think, obviously, it's still a fledgling career, and he's still starting out as Callum Walsh.
Yeah.
But they're doing something very very good with him. They're matching him right. They're giving him proper fights. They're giving him guys that are actually going to hit him back. They're going to give him guys that have tested him. We've been lucky enough to have experienced this out in New York. Yes, it's downstairs in the Hulu. We're not at the bit. We're not at the big place yet. But those Irish fans come out for him, and especially with it being St. Patrick's weekend, the weekend just gone. They did come out for him. The atmosphere looked fantastic as always. I like the test of Yeli Nusanov's brother, Doreen, rather than the main boy. He was asked a couple of questions, but Callum took care of it. I actually thought he was better this time than he was last time. Last time he maybe faded as the fight progressed through the 10. This one he seemed to, okay, struggled a little bit at certain points, but he did. He figured out the puzzle. He went through the gears. and he got that stoppage. So I think it's a tick-tick, especially when you're only 10 fights deep into your pro career.
Yeah. These are, you know, Ulysses, as you say, he's not the real McCoy. He's the chip off the block, but he's a capable fighter. I thought Callum Walsh won before the ninth round stoppage. He probably won the majority of rounds. Maybe Ulysses won one, maybe two rounds at most. I'm quite happy where Callum Walsh is right now. I'm quite happy with, you know, yes, they're putting a lot of stock in him. Yes, being the main event and all that puts, added pressure on him. But he's turning up. He's beating good level opposition, capable opponents that are coming to win. And I also see this as, don't forget, it's like, we'll talk about this when we talk about the Birmingham main event. When you give a guy that maybe his face doesn't fit, maybe he hasn't got the right promoter, maybe he hasn't got the right opportunity or the opportunity, maybe he's in the shadow of somebody else, like in this case. And you go, right, we've got you. And his manager goes, right, I've got a main event against Callum Walsh and in Madison Square Garden, St. Patrick's Day weekend, massive event. All you've got to do is turn up and do you, kid. And I thought, when you're consistently matching with opponents like that, he isn't going to piss his way through fights. I think he's being well matched. It's a little bit like the Josh Taylor route. They're matching him with decent level opposition. So for me, I remember bumping into Callum. I bumped into him in New York the day after his last fight, where, as we know, he came through adversity. I bumped into him in the lift and I was like, mate, get your head up. You were brilliant. You put a great show on for the fans. Yes, you never won every single round. And yes, you had to dig in at the end. But you know what? As a fan, that's what I want to see. You're ticking boxes. You're getting there, man. So good for you. And this was, this was even more one-sided in his favour than his last fight. But this is good stuff, man. You got him winning. You had Joe Bang Bang Ward winning. You had Fearless Fergal McClory winning as well. This is where St. Patrick's Day was for me here. Right here at my MSG.
Yeah, good performance from him. I think, I know that he's made the Hulu his home. I think I'm ready to bring him Ireland, I think I know that when at the back end of last year, I spoke to Dana White extensively about various expeditions into the world of boxing. Obviously, he's right behind Callum Walsh, and he's got big aspirations of bringing him to Ireland at some point this year. Fingers crossed that can materialise in the summer. Callum Walsh in Ireland in front of Irish fans, because those Irish fans come out for him in New York, man, and the atmosphere is banging. So God knows what it'd be like on actual home soil. I think it'd be absolutely tremendous. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed that's his next move. If Callum Walsh is fighting on the Irish soil this year, I fully advise you to save your pennies, get to it, go and enjoy a drop of whatever you're having whilst you're at the event, and watch this kid do his thing because he is super entertaining. I think he is going all the way. So get on the trend now. Saturday in Vegas. We'll do Vegas first because obviously it's major disappointment there for Maxi Hughes. But we said this last week, didn't we? He beat George Kambosos, and this was his reward. Yeah. Reward. Williams. We said last week, William Zepeda is a much tougher fight than George Kambosos. William Zepeda is the king of the Who Needs Him Club in this division. He's the name that nobody mentions. He's the one that goes under the radar. We said on last week's show, this guy could be the real deal in this division. And with all due respect to Maxi, who has been awesome, his last, 3, 4, 5 years or whatever it is, that rise where he's gone from this level to this level and exceeded everybody's expectation. He's an absolute diamond of a human being. And he's really squeezing out every sinew of what he's got and giving it to the boxing world. Yes, he got absolutely raw dealed against George Kambosos. I'm glad, first and foremost, that he got an opportunity in Vegas. Okay, he's fighting against a lad that is probably going to go on and become world champion at some point, William Zepeda.
Yeah.
But William Zepeda, from his point of view, this is how you are supposed to take care of people that are not at your level. And that's no disrespect to Maxi Hughes. He isn't. William Zepeda is the real deal. Stopping him in four. When I was watching the fight, I was thinking of you, mate, because them body shots were just like, woo! They are naughty. He is a nut. He knows exactly where to hit you, when to hit you, and how to hit you, that fella. I need to see him in with a big one now, because with all due respect to Maxi and the people that have come slightly before this for William Zepeda, they're not the elite boys, are they? They're not the top, top boys. I'm ready for Shakur Stevenson. I really am. I'm ready for that level of guy. Let's see what Williams have paid us all about.
Yeah, 100%. This was the big fear going into this fight, is that Zepeda was going to turn up and do an absolute number on Maxi Hughes. And again, I don't want to kick Maxi Hughes when he's down, because he's been phenomenal. And there's many times over the last few years, recent years, where we've been on this show and we've said, most improved boxer in Britain, Maxi Hughes. Most entertaining boxer in Britain, Maxi Hughes. Always turns up, always gives it his all. Loves being the underdog, thrives in that underdog mentality. And he got robbed. He should have beat Kambosos. That was his moment. Kambosos was his moment. And I felt for him looking at his Instagram yesterday, and he posted something on the balcony in Las Vegas. And he was like, mate, for all the haters who are giving me stick online, look, I'm here now. I've done this and I've done that. And I'm like, you'd have to have some fucking weird mentality to put, to think hate. It's within hate your Maxie realm to hate on Maxi Hughes. Unless you're a lightweight division rival or someone that's shared a ring with Maxi or has got some kind of personal beef with him. How can you not have anything but admiration for what he's done and what he's achieved in his career? It's been absolutely phenomenal. He shouldn't have been name up in lights in Las Vegas at the weekend when you look at the early stage of his career and where he was at, struggling to get beyond domestic level. But he's put the work in. He himself has put the work in to get to this point in his life where he is fighting for world titles, competing against former world champions, competing in Las Vegas as the main event. That's great. That's it. Nothing. You can't give him anything but respect for the journey that he's been on. It was just a hard watch because it was three very brutal rounds from Zepeda, who, I'll be honest, I'm watching that Zepeda, I'm watching Zepeda's performance. It's like when you go to the gym sometimes and the coach goes, right, everyone, we're just body sparring today. Yeah, no headshots, guys, just body sparring.
Yeah.
And it was like Zepeda went in there and went, I'm just going to smash your body to bits. And that's what he did. And poor Maxi's like, All right, take it easy with the fucking body shot, lad. Jesus Christ. We're only in the second round. And it was like Zepeda had gone, I'm going to body and I'm going to chop you down. And it was a very, very brutal approach from him. And something Maxi and no other fighter would really have prepared for that, to go, oh, he's just going to throw body shots at me. And every now and again, he would just pick up a few little headshots, tip, 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 tap. Maxi's hands would come up and he'd just go bang, 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 right round the guard, right up the middle. Oh, it was horrible. Horrible to watch. Really was.
I'm just trying to think what they could do regarding matchmaking for Williams Zepeda. Obviously, I've mentioned Shakur there.
Yeah.
Are you going to voluntarily take that? Does that have to be mandated, do you think? Because he's a nightmare. He's an absolute nightmare, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the king of the Who Needs Him Club because he's so dangerous, of course. And there's a reason why Gervonta Davis doesn't say his name. Shakur doesn't say his name. You know, Lomachenko is going to fight Kambosos in Ireland. I'm not saying he's going to say his name, but it's going to take somebody like a Keyshawn Davis or something to just go, right, that, you all think that's the guy? I'll do that guy. You know, I think that's what it's going to take. Someone like a Keyshawn, someone like a Frank Martin to go, I'm the new kid of this division, because you never know what weight division Gervonta is going to pop up in anyway.
Yeah.
And Shakur seems obsessed with Ryan Garcia pulling out and him being the replacement. That's all he keeps talking about now. And even though Bill Haney's gone, well, that ain't happening. Now Shakur's like, oh, so you're running away from me now? Well, wait a minute. You know, you're the new kid on the block at lightweight. Those guys have moved up. Are you gonna clean up at lightweight? Or are you just going to, you know, carry on? Don't get me wrong. I would love to see the fight with Shakur Stevenson. And I get what he's saying. But Zepeda's the here and the now of the lightweight division. He's the guy now. Who can beat this guy at lightweight now? This is the most impressive scalp right now in lightweight, I think, would be Zepeda. But he's incredibly dangerous, man. So strong. So strong.
Yeah. Again, I'm feeling good, actually, about talking about the boxing at the weekend, especially when the preview show last week, We were high on Liam Davis. I've been super impressed with what he's done over his last four fights coming into this at the weekend. We said again, this is great matchmaking. It's a great test. Here we go, Sunshine. Forget the belt. We said, forget the belt. Not interested in it. This lad that he's fighting at the weekend, he took on Lee McGregor. He dealt with Lee McGregor. I were high on Lee McGregor at the time. This is a proper test for Liam Davies. He's another step up for him. And then he
50-50. It was a 50-50, man. I swear to God. This was supposed to be a 50-50.
And then he goes in there and does that. Liam Davies, without any shadow of a doubt now, I said it on last week's show, I'm going to re-say it for you right now. He is the most exciting fighter in the UK right now. This kid is red hot. His last five fights have been absolutely dynamite. If you have a look at his backstory, he's just one of us. He's a sensational human being. Every interview that I see him give, you just think, yeah, man, I'm rooting for you. And then the kid gets in the ring and he delivers. Summit's dropped William Davies. I was unsure of him five, six fights ago. I didn't know. Agreed. Yes, the hype was there. Yes, his promoter was talking about him and bigging him right up. And I'm thinking, maybe I'm not seeing what you're seeing. Now I'm seeing it. And I've been seeing it for the last five, from Leech right through to what we've seen here on Saturday night. This kid's the real deal. I'm so excited as to what's happening next. Obviously, they're going to start talking in this weight division about a certain fella from Japan. I don't know if we can go that far, but sack it, man. I'm here to find out. I'm here to find out.
I think we've got to get him a proper world title. The problem is the people at the top with the proper world titles, so you're talking about the Inoues and the new Lewis Nerys and the people like that of this world. The good thing for Liam Davies is he seems to be peaking, just as their iconic, legendary careers continue to move them forward. At any point, you know, if that Nery Inoue fight comes off and it looks like the Japanese Boxing Commission have reversed their lifelong ban of Nery fighting in Japan. Yeah. Oh, what a surprise. So we can fight Inoue. There we go. And I think once that's done, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised. Then I would expect the new way to move up to featherweight, which would splinter all the belts and obviously provide Liam Davies with a wonderful opportunity. You're right. You know, I watched this fight from my sick bed, and the card had been solid up until this point, and there'd been some good fights on there. There'd been some that hadn't quite gelled. But there have been some real good fights early on as well. There have been some 50-50s that didn't actually turn out to be 50-50s. But we got to this point and I thought, right, okay, I'm pretty sure what's going to happen in the main event. This is the one. This is the big fight on here now. Now that McCann and Strand's played out the way it has, Liam Davies, Ayala, maybe this is the fight that's going to absolutely deliver a fight of the year contender and a performance of the year contender. That was to come actually in the main event, which I thought was heavily skewed toward the champion. Watching Liam Davies against Ayala, and Ayala come out, and I'm like, yeah, I remember you, man. I remember that tattoo in the center of your back. I remember how tired you are. I remember how big a puncher you are. And I remember watching the fight, and even though Liam Davies was moving fantastic, he's slipping, he's throwing nice little three-punch combinations, pivoting away, lovely. Ayala's chasing him down. It's weird. I was watching Ayala rather than watching Liam Davies. I'm watching Ayala and I'm like, okay, yeah, see what you're doing. You're getting your feet close, okay, yeah, you're following, you're cutting off the ring, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, he was on the floor. And I was like, what the hell was that? And it was only when he got back to his feet, they showed the replay, and I was like, oh, Liam Davies has just done him, like absolutely done him. What a perfect shot. Dropped him heavy, gets back to his feet. And then this was the critical moment. 12 rounds, supposed to be the toughest fight of your career. Everyone's been telling you all week, 50-50 this, you know. See what that kid did last time he was here? He can fight, be careful. Not another Mexican coming over to ruin the British party. All that must have been running through Liam Davis's mind. And he goes, nah, shut the fuck up. This kid's going. Boom, Moe straight into him. He was phenomenal. That was a wonderful performance. You're right. Everything you've just said is right. He is the most exciting fighter in Britain, and I cannot wait to see what comes next.
I didn't need to see Ayala get sent back out. I'll be honest, I thought his legs had gone. I watched him stand up and his legs were like that, and I'm thinking, wave it, man. Liam Davies has chinned him. It's done.
Yeah.
Listen, Liam can only do what is he
left asked. No doubt, though, didn't it? I'm not going to
Yeah.
I
no,
think
it's nothing to...
there's a conversation and the Mexican's gone, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, come on, he would have been all right. And within 30 seconds, he would have been all right. I think we needed to see him go, no, come on then. This is a fight. You don't get an extra time. You get 10 seconds, right? You've had your 10 seconds. Boom. And he stayed right there, John Latham. Bum, bum, bum. As soon as he hit him a few more times, boom, he was in there. So I was cool with it, to be honest.
Great finish. Sensational finish. Liam Davis doing what he did. Here's my concern with it, right? How many people saw it? That's my concern. And the reason why I'm bringing that up, I'm sure that Birmingham was bouncing. I'm sure that everybody in the arena was there.
Yeah.
Well, Heaney's on the ticket, man. He sells out, doesn't he? He delivers them. The postman. So I'm no doubt that inside the arena it was bouncing. That is the core main event, and it was on TV at about 10 past 11. About 10 past 11, right?
Yeah.
Now, the promoter can't do any more with this card. We said last week, this is great. You've put on, at least, I know it says Magnificent Seven, but you put on at least six fights. Six fights there on paper.
At the time, I said six proper fights. As it turned out, one or two were probably more, you know.
Yeah, but on paper.
There were six proper fights. Yeah.
Of course, on paper, you look at it, you go, this is good, man. I'd buy a ticket for this. This is great. I'm a boxing fan. This is what I want to see. Good, solid matchups, good 50-50s. You got English title fights on there. You got British title fights on there. What's not to like about it? So I don't think the promoter, regarding the matchmaking of this, can do any more.
Yeah.
The scheduling of the night needs to be a little bit better. Let's be dead honest about this.
A little bit better. Jesus Christ.
I'm being polite, right? Yeah. Because when you're getting the co-main event, and with all due respect, the moment, Liam Davis was the moment. What comes after it with Heaney? It's a good fight, that. That shouldn't be on a different day than when your show started. That needs to be in front of people at 9:30, 10:00, man. It can't be that late because people lose interest. People are like going, sack it. Now, here's the reason why I'm concerned about it is this. If you look at the numbers, and you know that I'm obsessed with numbers, right? If you look at the numbers for this event, this is a good event. Like I said, this is not a go at anybody. This is where the audience is at. The week previous to this event, you have Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou, and you have the world's media pumping it down everybody's neck, right? And it does okay. It does okay. You look at our numbers, you look at the way that we went about it. I look at people, how many people listen to our show, watch our show, all that type of stuff. And I think that's a good week. That's a good week because people have come because they're interested in X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. The week after, a very, very good British domestic card. Very good. And it does, in the build-up, probably about 15 to 20% of the numbers of the previous week. That's concerning for me. Now, okay, you don't have the star factor, you don't have the name factor. But we want boxing to look like this.
Yeah.
But how many people are actually watching it? Now, of course, I'm just referring to our own numbers. So I go, maybe that's just us. Maybe people don't want to listen to us. So you go externally and you go and have a look at the IFLs of this world, the boxing socials of this world. Now, again, this is not a dog on the actual channel itself. If you look at IFL, over 800,000 subscribers on their channel. They do pre-fight interviews with the guys that are involved in this fight, the likes of the Liam Davies, who was the star of the show on Saturday night, and it's doing less than 1,000 views.
Yeah.
And then his post-fight interview, it might be up now, it might have gone higher, but when I looked at it yesterday, it won like 1,500 views. I'm thinking, oh man, what a shame, because this was brilliant. I want people to know about it. I want people to see it. I don't think the promoter can do any more regarding matchmaking. I really don't.
No.
So how do we get that in front of more people? So more people are like going, what is this? I've just told you, Liam Davis is the most exciting fighter in the UK right now. And only 1,500 people on one particular channel, granted, are watching his post-fight interview. Come on, man. What do we do? We need to change it.
A million people probably watch the AJ post-fight interview.
We need to change it. We need to do something. We need to recapture audience interest. Now, okay, I know it's FA Cup weekend. Maybe people are doing other things. People lead busy lives. But I love this game. I want people to know that lad's name. I want people to see him. I want people to have watched Nathan Heaney and Brad Poles because Brad Poles bloody brought it in the main event. But are they staying up at 12:45 to watch it and into the early hours of the morning like I was? Obviously not.
No. I was tweeting about it early on and put a tweet out before the fights on Saturday around lunchtime and stuff like that. And there was only because I'd gone through Twitter and there was absolutely no mention of it whatsoever. There was just nothing. Obviously on Queensbury Zone's channels and whatever else, there was bits, but nobody was talking about it. And, you know, most of my social media accounts who I follow are either fighters or fight fans or fight outlets. And there was just no conversation whatsoever, no chatter whatsoever. That's really disappointing because as we built it up last week, there was six genuine fights on here. Whether they played out like that's a different matter. But heading in, there was six genuine fights for fight fans to really get the teeth stuck into. This was really good matchmaking. Again, the pacing is horrific. I don't know how many times we've got to say it, man. We've got that bit right. You're getting the matchmaking right now. We're seeing proper fights. Dennis McCann versus Bradley Strand on paper, magnificent fight. But the pacing of it, I watched that fight. It was like 4 hours later or 4.5 hours later before the main event got inside the ring. And I'm like, it was obviously, and I'm at home on my sick bed anyway. I wasn't well. I fell asleep before the main event. I had to watch Heaney the following morning. Obviously, I put that down to the fact I was being sick. But I'm sure if the pacing was better, I'd have been on the edge of the couch. I'd have been awake. But it was like, oh, here's another preview to such and such a thing that's happening, or here's another countdown to whatever else. That does need sorting, absolutely. But anyway, let's talk about the rest of the card, because there was some belter fights on there, some of them that lived up to it. Do you want to go with Heaney Poles first?
Yeah, of course.
Because I think Brad Poles and it being his cup final, and his mentality was the same as Heaney's mentality when he fought Denzel Bentley, massive underdog. Can he do it? This guy's been a lot higher than you. All that stuff. And a couple of rounds in, I'm like, okay, this is what I expected. And then suddenly, Brad Poles started having success and started hurting Nathan Heaney. And in the rounds that Brad Poles won, Nathan Heaney was struggling visually all over the place. Yeah. And it was the rounds that Heaney won where it was more about tidy boxing, keeping it at range, picking him off and moving. You know, two very different visual fights. If you scored this MMA style, which is damage comes first, overrides things, Heaney probably loses this fight. In fact, he absolutely loses it. But that's not how we scored a boxing match.
No.
Clean, effective work. Over 10, well, this is 12 rounds, 12 mini fights.
Yeah.
Clean, effective work. I personally thought Heaney did enough to win it.
Yeah.
But it was close, man. Really close.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, I'm so glad that you just mentioned MMA because of the unified scoring criteria. Because I scored it to Nathan Heaney. I scored it 7-5 in Nathan Heaney's favour, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'm not angry with 6-6. Not angry with it at all. So if obviously the results are draw, so you come away with it being a draw. I'm not angry with that at all. But I personally scored it to Nathan. I thought he did enough to win it 7-5. But visually, the rounds that Brad Poles wins, you're scoring them 10-9. Because of the conditioning of Nathan Heaney to keep himself on his feet. Yeah. Keeps himself on his feet and then manages to get on his bike and keep himself out of trouble. Unbelievable. Never skip leg day, kids, because Nathan Heaney's wheels are in tip-top shape, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But you're still only scoring it at 10-9. So the rounds that Heaney wins, which are, you know, there's no real damage, proper damage in there. Some are actually quite close. You're favouring him 10-9. And then a round where Brad Poles puts a shellacking on him to an extent, you're still scoring it 10-9. I think maybe that's got to be looked at. Because in MMA, for example, the reason why I bring it up is that you don't necessarily have to be knocked down and put on your ass to have a 10-8. You don't have to have that. It's just got to be the differentiation of how much you've beaten somebody up.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at some of them rounds there, and without, I know Heaney doesn't go down, and this is not how we score boxing. I understand. I completely get that. I would love an argument to say them are 10-8 rounds to Brad Paul's.
Yeah.
A couple of them rounds could be classed as 10-8 rounds to Paul's, because he had him going. He had him going. Yeah. But again, using the...
I'm just going to say, just to clarify before anyone wants to clip that, what Adam means is that's not how we score boxing.
Of course.
That's if but you what use I am a different scoring system from exactly. a different sport.
But what I'm saying is, review the scoring system is what I'm saying. Review it, because I don't think a round there for Brad Paul's where he's absolutely unbelievably won the round and he's won it by a wide margin should be scored in the exact same numerical advantage. It shouldn't be the exact same numerical advantage for a really close round. There should be a wider gap there, despite someone getting knocked down. That being said, clean, effective work. I personally favoured Nathan Heaney in the fight. I'm not overly angry with the draw.
Yeah, I think I the same as you, 7-5. But again, I wouldn't have been against the 6-6 either. I think it was
great performance from Brad Paul's, man.
Incredible.
Like you say, he was getting beat early doors. I mean, there's a large gap there at the start, and you think Nathan's going to run away with this. And then Brad Paul's just, I think it was round six, he went, fuck it, man. I'm going to have to go. Let's go. Let's get in this dude's face and let's see what happens. Fair play to
you,
mate.
I only give Brad Paul's one of the first five rounds. But then, as you say, he had a good go. 6, 7, 8 was just like Heaney was almost on the floor so many times. He was just all over the place. And that's a credit to Nathan for staying on his feet. Because one touchdown there, he loses the title in the end, because that draw would have been obviously swung in favour of Brad Paul's. But how he stayed on his feet in round 8, I'll never know. That's pure conditioning. Then 9, 10, you know, he comes back into it then. That was the mad thing, I think. After having his worst round, or the most one-sided round of the fight was 8. Nathan Heaney wins 9 and 10. That was unbelievable. And that meant that Paul's had to get a knockdown in the championship rounds.
What makes me laugh, right? Even his coach, they've got a wonderful relationship. And that's the relationship that got him through the Denzel Bentley fight. If you look at the Denzel Bentley fight, he sticks to the game plan all the way through the fight. And obviously, after nearly getting put out in round 8, the corner works great, because he's like, well, what are you doing? You absolute lunatic. He gets a bollocking, doesn't he? But then Heaney just goes robotic again. He goes, right, I've got to listen. And he delivers it to AT. Delivers it to a T, and then he goes, all right, I'm back in now. And then he gets giddy again. He goes, what are you doing, you lunatic? Right? Just do what he's just told you to do for the last two rounds, because you're winning those exchanges quite comfortably, mate. Nah, they've come for a fight, this lot. It's 12:30. You know what I mean? They need a proper scrap. They're well oiled. Let's get in there. Jeez, mate. It was super entertaining. Super entertaining right till the end.
It was. I think round 11 was one of the best rounds of this year.
Yeah, mate. I thought he was going to go again.
Me too. I thought he was going again, and then he would fall back against the ropes, and as he'd fall back, he'd just throw a big left hook, and Paul's would run into it and get it by a left hook, and you're like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? So round 11, absolutely. If you've not watched it yet, obviously, go back.
It's great.
There's so many good bits to watch in this card, really is. And we'll get into the other fights in a minute. Liam Davis was just sensational again. But round 8, how the hell does Heaney survive? Round 11, fight of the year contender. Heaney Paul's absolutely delivered. And what surprised me afterwards is when they got Frank on the microphone and they were chatting to him, or the bit I seen, if there wasn't the full interview, the interview I seen, he said, well, you know, it's Nathan, go away now and have a little break. We were going to get him out in this kind of area, but maybe he won't be ready then, so we'll push it further back. We've got big plans. And I'm like, nah, man. Forget your plans. The plans go out the window now. Do Paul's too. Yeah. Why would anyone not want to see Heaney Paul's too?
Just,
it was a split decision draw. Like, Paul's deserves an opportunity. Nathan deserves an opportunity to put it right. There's no other conversation that needs to be had. Quite simply, Nathan Heaney, Brad Paul's too, must happen this summer. Yeah. And it's a great fight.
And I think fans would buy tickets for it and come out, because you've got a selling point from the first fight. You could do something bigger if you wanted to do something
bigger.
Your
promo for fight number 2 is the 3 minutes of round 11. Want to see this again? Check this out. Boom. We're coming back in the summer. Absolutely. And you know what? If it means pushing Heaney's plans further back, sound man, because with all due respect, if Heaney can't solidify his reign as British champion, forget about pushing him any further anyway. So it's, I've got no issue with doing polls too whatsoever.
Yeah. This is great. Great both men. Great fight. Great on paper as well. We questioned whether Nathan Heaney would be bang up for it. He was up for it. He was bang up for it. But so was Brad Poles. He brought it.
Exactly.
Super impressed with Pierce O'Leary, Hovhannes Matarossian. That particular fight, a question, because obviously it's first time Matarossian was outside of his home country. Was he going to, is it a padded record at 16 undefeated? Well, he brought it, man. He brought some fire, and both of them had a little bit of a go. They had a go. And Pierce O'Leary was just a little bit too good getting the job done, and he moves through to 14 undefeated. Great victory for him.
When he dropped him in the first round, I was like, oh, okay. So the Belgian kid's got a padded record then. He actually hasn't got a fucking chin.
That's what I mean. And he got back up though, didn't he?
Yeah, man. And then he got back up and he's starting to win some rounds. And I'm like, okay, apologies. Full credit to you, son. You're taking it to him. And I thought, I thought it was a great fight. Many people won't have seen it. It ended up being a ninth round stoppage for O'Leary. A great night for Liverpool trainer Joe McNally, who had O'Leary and Dennis McCann both as winners on the night. But yeah, this was an important win for O'Leary. You're beating a guy who's 16-0, regardless of whether he's travelled or not, a guy that you put down in the first, who got back up and extended you another 8-9 rounds. Sensational. You can't pay for sparring like that. You can't pay for that kind of experience.
What did you make of Zach Parker, Tyron Zuiga?
I thought Zach Parker looked very fragile. Very fragile. He got dropped, obviously, in the second round. I think an in-shape Tyron Zuiga stops him, beats him. I think Zuiga, it was a weird performance from the German, because, yes, he was out of shape. Yes, he missed weight, and he looked heavy. He's always had a smile on his face when he fights. He's one of them kind of fighters, but still, I just thought here there was a lot of time where he just looked to land one big shot and allowed Zach Parker to come back into the fight. It was like, you thought I was going to rip the script up then, didn't I? I know what my job is. All right, let's keep going. And then a little bit later on, I'll throw a few more bombs. Zach Parker managed to get himself through the fight to get a points decision, but I think any capable super middleweight would have finished Zach Parker after dropping him in that second round. I really like Zach Parker and his rise. The problem with Zach Parker, and I don't want this to sound harsh, but the problem is, I think Zach Parker thinks his shit don't stink. I think Zach Parker thinks he's already the finished article. He already thinks, I get this air about Zach Parker that, yeah, man, the world title's inevitable. And I'm like, nah, kid. He's still got so many boxes to tick to get to where he wants to be. There's something not right with him. I actually believe there's something not right with Zach Parker at the moment, whether it's just that hunger for the game or whatever. I don't know. I just feel like he turns up just expecting his opponent to roll over. I mean, it doesn't happen. He panics. And it was, again, if Tyron Zuga's in shape, if he turns up in shape for this fight, I think Tyron Zuga would have stopped Zach Parker. I really do.
Hmm. Ethan James and Owen Cooper, English welterweight title. Listen, man, you don't get bad English welterweight titles, do you? Or English titles, you just don't get bad ones. We said in the build-up last week that it would be good, that it would go long. Listen, man, one guy was just far too good for the other guy.
Yeah.
Great performance. I think a bit of a coming-of-age performance, really, because I haven't seen that before. I haven't seen that level of performance from him. So really, really, really good to see.
Yeah, I think this will be the first time a lot of people have seen Ethan James and Owen Cooper. And the comms team were delighted and keep telling us, oh, you know, they used to be mates, they used to be, you know, bedroom buddies when they boxed together and all this stuff. Great. But I think this was the first of two fights on the night where we saw a kid who's obviously was a very capable amateur. But it's becoming glaringly obvious that his shortcomings in terms of being to do something as a professional are a lack of power. I think Ethan James not being able to put Owen Cooper onto his heels at any point in the fight meant that Owen Cooper could just continue to pour forward and throw bombs and connect. He dropped them early on. And then from then on, Ethan James was chasing the fight. But I thought, in fact, to be honest, I thought Steve Bunce made a wonderful point, and he was bang on in the post-fight review when he said, Ethan James fights like a banger. He's like front foot, bam, throws all his weight over his shots, slips and throws a, you know, throws big shot, bam, bam. You know, doesn't cover up, doesn't have to, doesn't dance, doesn't move, doesn't slip, doesn't pack the jab, doesn't, he's out there, wham, wham, winging away. And I'm like, for a guy who's never knocked anybody out, that's a very brave way to fight. And it played into the hands of Owen Cooper. And maybe that's because they are former friends. They know each other well enough to go, mate, let's just have it. Maybe that was the case. But a great win for Owen Cooper. They're both a very similar level. It was an English title fight. Neither drops off. But for Ethan James, rather like Bradley Strand, there needs to be a serious look at how they can add some sting power if they're going to make it in this game. As brutal as that sounds, if you can't push that man onto his heels when he's pouring forward, if you can't get his respect at any point in a fight, you're going to have a horrific time trying to make it in this sport. Horrific.
Yeah. And that leads us on nicely to the Dennis McCann-Bradley Strand fight. I thought Dennis was great, mate. I think there's been some real development there in the Rotunda gym.
Yeah.
He's 23, 24 years of age still, Dennis. He's still a young man and he still hasn't got that bloke strength yet, has he? He's not filled out as of yet, but there's elements there.
Quiet boy.
But there is elements there that he's getting it now.
Yeah.
He is sitting down a little bit more. He is, you know, going through with some of his shots. And obviously that's the work that he's doing with Joe and the team there. I was actually pleasantly surprised with Dennis McCann, the way that he dealt with it from a maturity level and the way that he went about his business. Very impressive, because we all know how good Bradley Strand is as a boxer. But again, it comes back to what you've just been speaking about, the English welterweight title fight. He just didn't have the zip to make Dennis think. Dennis got clipped a couple of times, but it didn't hurt. Didn't bother him. He just went, I'm just coming through, mate. And he got his work off relatively easy. I think Dennis has to tighten up a touch because he was getting clipped, but maybe it's because he felt it and he went, well, that's not going to hurt me. I'm just going to crack on. Maybe it was that.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Dennis McCann. I really was, because I thought this was a proper 50-50. If anything, I thought Dennis is what we've seen previously from Dennis, where he lets his ego get a little bit too noisy and he gets carried away. And when the chips are down, he kind of panics a little bit because he's like, wait a minute, I'm Dennis McCann. I'm the menace. You can't box me. You can't beat me. But I think what he's finding now, and it was funny, I seen an interview with him on Friday, I think it was, and he says, over the last 6 months, I've learned to become a man. And I think part of that might be, you know, moving to a different city. You know, we've all done it. When you leave your home city, and with all due respect, your mum doing your laundry for you and your nan making your Sunday dinner for you and everything else, and you move to another city for work, you suddenly get there and you realise, wow, nobody in this entire city gives a fuck whether I live or die. It's up to me now to pull my socks up, to become a man and to look after myself. Go to fucking laundrette, go and buy myself food, go and put food in the fridge, pay my own bills, pay my own rent, pay my own transport, pay my own coaches. That's the difference here that I think Dennis McCann, maybe that's what he meant, moving away from home and the home comforts has allowed me to mature as a man and allowed him a lot of thinking time as well. When your mates around you, your family's around you, you're part of that lifestyle, aren't you? Oh, wait a minute, yeah, I've got a fight this weekend. Whereas when you're alone sitting in a flat in Liverpool or any other city, you get a lot of time then to think about it. You get a lot of one-on-one time with your coaches and a lot of time to think about what your coach just said for the rest of the night. Usually you go home, telly's on, siblings are there, mum's there, girlfriend's there, go back to gym the next day. Oh, shit, remember what we were working on yesterday? Footwork, wasn't it? When you're in a bed sit on your own, you go back and that's all you're thinking about. All you're thinking about was the last thing your coach said to you until the very next day. So I think the moving away absolutely could be the making of Dennis McCann. For me, that was Dennis's best performance as a pro in 16 fights. I thought he looked brilliant. He looked a level above Bradley Strand many times in this fight, and Bradley Strand's amateur credentials are not even comparable to Dennis McCann's. But he bossed so much of the fight because he was allowed to go front foot. He was allowed to throw those power shots, knowing full well that even when that check left duck came round from Bradley Strand and tagged him, boom, didn't knock the sweat off his brow. So for Dennis McCann, absolutely great win for him. British and Commonwealth title fight, sensational. The future's all his now, and I'm super excited to see in which direction they take him next. I'd make a couple of defences this belt. There's no rush. He's a baby. Get a couple of defences, but whatever he's doing now, keep doing what you're doing, Dennis, because if you keep making the improvements you're making mentally and physically, we've got ourselves a real future contender on our hands for sure.
Do you want to talk about Joe Joyce?
Oh, God, yeah. Joe Joyce was on this card as well, wasn't he? Oh, God. I put that out of my mind.
Yeah.
Cash Ali was landing right hands over the top on Joe's chin. And I'm like, I ain't no boxing coach. I can take someone on the mitts if they want me to, but I ain't no boxing coach. But at some point, Joe Joyce and a multiple Olympic, all his amateur credentials, into the top five at one point in the world heavyweight division. And yet, he's getting tagged by a club-level fighter with right hands over the top still. Are we not going to... Has no one taught him how to slip or can get his hand up to block that shot? Cash Ali is what Cash Ali is. Let's be honest. He's a domestic... level journeyman, and the amount of times he clipped Joe Joyce didn't do anything, but the amount of times he threw it over the top and hit Joe right on the chin throughout this 10 rounds, I was like, you can't put Joe Joyce back in at the top level now. Where's the improvements? It was a weird performance. I really like Joe. We've both had lucky enough to spend time with Joe, and I really like him as an individual, and I really like this run he had as the indestructible Joe Joyce. Wow. Isn't it amazing? Oh, my God. Put him in with Wilder. What the hell's going to happen? But Zhang ended all that. Zhang ended that on two brutal occasions. Joe Joyce has to evolve or die. That's it. And that performance at the weekend, Francis Ngannou would knock out Joe Joyce because Francis Ngannou wouldn't miss.
And he hits harder than Cash Ali, mate. Yeah.
Of course he bloody does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hard watch. And there's lots of positives from that. No doubt about it. But lots of learns as well. And maybe the broadcaster, promoter, you could all get together and try to think of a way of getting the fights like Liam Davis and his performance when you knew that it was going to be a barnstormer, you knew it was a 50-50 fight, you knew something special was going to happen. British title fight is your main event. You knew that the atmosphere was going to be there with Heaney and all that. How do you get that in front of people earlier in the night? Because past midnight, how many people are actually watching it?
Yeah. And that's the shame. You know what? We used to have floaters, remember? You used to have floaters on cards and you fit them in if a fight went early or whatever. I don't know. Put Joe Joyce after midnight. Right, you got this, the card. And then after midnight, for those who want to stay up to watch late night boxing, you got heavyweight Joe Joyce. Like, replan it. Just because your main event doesn't have to be the last fight on the card, evidently, because Frank is now putting on fight cards till 1 a.m. consistently. So what's your peak viewership? They must look at numbers at Queensbury or at TNT Sport and go, right, people start watching here, and then it goes down there. Oh, okay, we've had our peaks there, and then it starts coming back down. There's no way it peaks at 1 a.m. I know that for a fact.
Yep.
So it must peak around, I'm guessing, 9, 10, 10:30. Yeah. Anything after 10:30, it's coming downhill. Anything after 11, you're losing viewers now. So why would you put your main events after 11? Your peak has got to be there. That's got to be your Heaney, Liam Davis. And then, tell you what, stick around, kids. We've got Dennis McCann versus Bradley Strand coming up next. And then after that, we got Joe Joyce. And the hardcores can stick around till 1 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't seem to be a difficult decision. Mad.
Let's hope the list.
But a good card. I don't want to knock it.
No, it's nothing to do with that. Great. It's nothing to do with the matchmaking. Matchmaking was
brilliant.
Great.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. Listen, we've been here 8 years, man. We've been voicing various bits over 8 years. We know that people listen. We know that they're listening.
Yeah.
Get ready for the next card when the main event's on at 9 o'clock.
Yes, please. Please.
You're welcome. Listen, thank you very much for tuning into us. Solid weekend of boxing. We had a huge Eyes of the World weekend last weekend, didn't we? And this week was good. Very good. You had a British lad out in Las Vegas taking on a superstar in the division that is going under the radar. Hopefully you checked it out. You've got a superstar from Ireland doing his thing in New York. Fingers crossed next time he's in Ireland fighting. And this was a great, great card in Birmingham. Good matchmaking, solid fights. If you went along to it, I'm sure you had a whale of a time. And you got to see some great stuff. And as I keep saying, Liam Davis, my word, my man. What are you doing next? Can't wait for it. Mm-hmm. Listen, thank you very much for tuning into us. There's a little red button underneath Nick's screen there if you're watching this on YouTube. Click it. It'll ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please get stuck in. That'll be wonderful. You can also subscribe to our audio feeds on our website, fightdisciples.com. Go and get stuck in to the show, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.